Welcome to Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Well, we are excited to be with you guys this morning. So glad that you are here in the building, those watching online, and thankful to our lead pastor, Pastor Phil, our under-shepherd, for giving me this opportunity to break the bread of life with you guys. I am filled with expectation, anticipation about what Holy Spirit is going to do for us and in us today. So we're going to jump right in. But I am so glad to see my friend Melanie here this morning. I've been praying for you. Always good to see her. And I have to watch her because, you know, she'll roll up on you sometime. It didn't work. It wasn't a good one. Anyway, so let's jump right in. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the message. Mm-hmm. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. The Bible does not say that faith comes, John, by having heard. Nope, because if faith came by having heard, Leland, then after we heard the word of God preached one time, it would have been sufficient enough for us to experience the fullness of our salvation. But no, Mr. Ted, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that's continuously, ing, hearing the word of God. So I pray that you listen today for your hearing. So I get the question sometimes, hearing, listening, why do you say those together? Well, I'm going to let you guys join me in a little demonstration really quick. Make a circle with your hand. Everybody make a circle with your hand. Come on. It's okay. All right. Now follow instructions. Take the circle and put it on your chin. Now freeze. Look at your neighbor. Say, is that your chin? Yeah. See, now that the ice is broken, we're ready to go, okay? Now, I will say that for your clarity, listening and hearing are not the same thing. Everyone in this room heard me, but not everyone was listening to me. Many people did what I said. Other people did what I did, right? All right. So I get credit for that icebreaker when you use it at work, okay? Say, okay, I'm just saying. All right. But I hope that you listen for your hearing today. So we go a little further today into our series, Jesus Said What? Yeah. Over the past 8 weeks, we have been walking through some of the hard sayings of Jesus. And we've had some great recaps on Sunday mornings at 9:30 in the chapel. So next week, if I say something that you guys really migrate to today, I hope to see you at 9:30 in the chapel next week so we can have some more discussion. So I believe that today's subject is going to leave us all once again leaving here saying, Jesus said what? So let's jump right in. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Yikes, right? That's kind of tough, right, Miss Denise? So for a few moments today, I want us to ponder when Jesus said, you must hate your family. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. It's like, what? Yeah. So as the curtain rises on the scene of this text that we're going through, walk through today, Jesus has just finished talking about the great banquet. Okay? In verses 15 through 23, I'm not going to read all those, but that's what he just finished sharing about, the parable of the great banquet. Well, in verse 16, he talks about how there was a man who invited many guests. And they all had excuses as to why they couldn't commit or participate in the great banquet. So the first person responded, said, hey, I just bought some property, so I got to meet the inspector. I can't come. Second person says, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, so I got to go try them out. Third person said, well, I just got married, so I can't come. And the man got very, very angry according to how the parable that Jesus shares. He says that the man then sends invites to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to come to his banquet. Now, stay with me. I want to make it really plain as we continue to walk through this. The way it looks is that he simply really wanted his house and his table filled. So at this point, he's willing to take anybody. But initially, Miss Aaron, he's got preferences. Yeah. See, first, he invited the classy people, but they were too busy to come. Yeah. Then he invited people that had some class, at least. But then, Mr. Dutro, they didn't come. Then he invited those who basically had no class. He said, hey, man, just go get the poor people, the blind people, the crippled people, the lame people. Just go get them and bring them to my house. And some of those people actually came. He said, why do you say just some, Pastor DJ? Well, you guys know I like good questions. Because his servant comes back and he says this. He says, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. So that's how we know only some of the people came, Will. Only some of the people came. Even the people who probably had nothing else to do, only some of them came. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come so that my house will be full. There's our proof that he really just wanted a packed house. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. So all the people that refused to come or turned down his invitation, you know, any parents in here paid for a wedding lately? And people RSVP, you're like, yeah, then you got all these empty plates, but you still had to pay. Yeah, that wasn't in my notes. I just thought it was funny. Okay, so I am glad that Jesus does not invite only certain people to his table. He invites us all. Anybody else happy about that? I'm happy that he invites us all. But for us to claim our seat at the table of Jesus, we must first accept the invitation. And the acceptance of that invitation starts in our heart, but then it manifests in our behavior, in our walk, in how we live for Christ or try to live for Christ. See, Jesus wants repentance and then a repented heart and then a repented walk. There's a process to it. You can't leapfrog it or else you'll miss something. See, the reason not everyone or every invitee, if you will, accepted the invitation was because accepting this invitation came at a cost. Not a financial cost, of course. Mind you, the master had already paid for the meal and prepared everything for them. Likewise, our salvation has already been paid for because Jesus already died on the cross. But we have to accept the invitation and then participate in our salvation. But the cost I'm speaking of here is more about how someone might use their own time. You know how you don't have time for certain things? You get invited someplace or you get double booked or you say, I just don't have time in the day to do that. In the reality, you probably blew an hour and a half sitting doing nothing. If you can't say amen, say ouch or smile and look at the cross. Nobody know I'm talking about you. Okay? But we must consider how other people value their time or how they see their time. All good things, all things, period, come at a cost. And it is with this clarity of understanding that we must consider what Jesus is saying in our text today. I want to read it to you from the Message Bible. The Message Bible says it this way. It says, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own life can't be my disciple. I challenge you today because there are people here in this room or watching me online that are struggling with how to love family but keep distance from family. They're struggling with how to make things work in relationships or at work, and they just don't know how to. But here, Jesus is challenging us to let go of the things that are not as important. Ooh, that might hurt. My family's not important. Your family is absolutely important, but are they more important than Jesus? What Jesus is saying here, if I can make this scene just a little bit clearer for you, is we have to recognize that we must let go of the things that we should not be holding on to with a desire to hold on to the one we should. And if we hold on to the one we should, Steve, then the things that we let go of, God will take care of. Yeah, yeah, I believe that in my heart. And if I can illuminate this moment just a little bit further, the large crowds that Jesus is now talking to and walking through, and they're following him everywhere. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him feed people. They've seen him work miracles. They've seen him teach people. And I mean, why not follow Jesus at this point, Ms. Jackie? It's like for free. I get to tag along. When the other people eat, I eat. When the other people get a good message, I get a good message. Okay? So Jesus is not teaching a new commandment of hating people. No, that's not what he's doing. It's not about hate at all, actually. Rather, Jesus is teaching, watch this, you guys ready? Everybody sitting down? Yes, pay attention. This is about Jesus teaching about the cost of discipleship. Yeah. John Mark Comer wrote this. He said, we must count the cost not only of following Jesus, but also of not following Jesus. See, when you do the math, you may conclude that, yes, following Jesus will cost you a lot. But here's the thing, not following Jesus will cost you even more. Yeah, everything comes at a cost. The cost for an athlete to be their best is time, it's sweat, it's studying film, it's being committed to the sport that you like, Brett. The cost for to be successful in business is the dedication and understanding your industry. It's about being willing to take the necessary risk to achieve the success you want. The cost of being successful as a pastor or being your best as a pastor is being willing to be disliked by those you lead. Being willing to be told how to do the job that God called you to wasn't a conference call. He called you to it, but by people unqualified to do so. Yet, be willing to stand for God, even if it means you have to stand alone. See, Jesus is talking about what we must be prepared to do to follow him. We must be willing to give up everything, our families, all of our stuff, even our own lives. We must be willing to give those up. Watch this. You don't often have to actually give it up. Jesus just wants to know you'll choose him first. That'll catch some of y'all by Thursday. As his followers, are we willing to make him number one in our lives? Are we willing to place the most important people in our lives in the position of second place? Are we counting the cost in our families, in our homes, in our churches, in our small groups, our life groups? Are we counting those costs? Many times I've seen over and over again that too many churches or places of worship have adjusted for the culture rather than sticking to God's precepts. Many adults take their families and leave one church for another because they can't actually take full responsibility of God's word. See, they blame it on other things. It's like they weren't family oriented or they weren't thinking about this. No, the reality is the truth of God's word has convicted you. And rather than sitting, being still and being obedient to God's word, you just go somewhere where you can hide. That wasn't in my notes. That was for free. We have many youth today that have ditched youth services and small groups, not because they aren't effective, but because maybe they don't like the youth leader. Or so they can enroll in a special program, a sports program or athletic team. I don't mean to bother anybody, but I'm just telling the truth right now. Or because another group setting may be a little more fun. All the while putting Jesus on the back burner. And sadly, parents have not only allowed it, have not only made excuses for it, it's worse, some have actually encouraged it. The church is not meant to be a social club, but rather a place, a beacon of God's love, his structure, his grace, his compassion, and his discipline, and we don't get to choose which ones we want. This is not a la carte. This is the body of Christ and what we're supposed to be based on the word. We don't get to pick and choose. Jesus is not dressed like the king at Burger King. See, many people try to follow Jesus, lead them without giving up their old ways. I taught on in week four, I believe it was, about killing the old man and putting on the new man daily. Sometimes people think it's one and done. Okay, I repented. I said I love Jesus and I've committed my life. Now everything is going to be rainbows, roses, sunshine, and unicorns. No, ma'am, no, sir. In fact, sometimes it gets a little tougher first. See, some people think they can have the best of both worlds, and some people aren't really ready to pay the cost, and what they end up wanting is a cheap salvation. What do you mean by cheap salvation, Pastor DJ? I'm glad you guys asked me. They want salvation without discipleship. They want salvation without discipline. They want salvation without the cross. Basically, they want salvation without Jesus and everything that comes with him. So what do they really have then at the end of the day? They simply have nothing more than a life of emptiness. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? See, when the Roman citizen was led away to the place where they'd be executed, the place where they'd be crucified, they were forced to carry their own cross. This was a sign of total submission to Roman rule, Ms. Molly. But see, when Jesus says cross, when you carry your cross for Jesus, this means that the believer is in total submission to him. In that, we deny ourselves and commit to following him. So I ask you today, what is your cross? Do you know? Perhaps someone needs to ask themselves, Elder Mosby, what will it cost me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Then after maybe answering that and figuring that out, then can I carry my cross to be that disciple? And yes, we all stumble and or make mistakes at times, but we are still a part of God's family. We are still a part of his body. We are still a part of his fold, but we have to be willing to come to the table. Ponder these questions, if you will. These are for you to take with you and just something to consider. Will you have the faith and commitment to trust in Jesus? How far will your trust in Jesus carry you in today's society? That is absolutely subjective. It's relative to the level of trust you have in Jesus. Will you be seen as a committed disciple, willing to pay the cost to follow Jesus? Or will you be seen like Judas, an uncommitted pretender? One who was along for the ride, he got all the benefits, but he had no desire to have a real relationship with Jesus. You've seen Judas people around before. You know, they look like Christians. You know, they dress properly and comfortably and modestly, respectfully, right? They talk like Christians. They know a lot of scripture, even though they use it most of the times out of context. They act like Christians. They come to church every Sunday, but their true allegiance is not to him. I've said it once, I'll say it again. There are many people on their way to hell through the church. It's okay, we'll talk about that next Sunday. 9:30, we'll talk about that. But we've all seen Judas people. They are the people who their words do not match their actions. If we really took an honest look at ourselves, notice I said we, who or what do we put first in our lives? Where does Jesus rank in our lives in order of importance? Do we have a complete life in Christ, or have we failed to build on the foundations of our faith? I'm happy to remind us all today that Jesus invites us to be a part of his family no matter our current situation, no matter what's happening, no matter the fails we've had, the mishaps, the times we've fallen, or the times that we've disappointed him. He's still standing there saying, I'm still here. You'll never find a moment where Jesus has moved himself from you. You'll always find that you've moved yourself from him. Jesus is always right where you left him. You just have to return to that place. And he doesn't say, get your life together before you come, or figure out this life thing, or this, you know, what's going on with you before you come to me. No, he simply says, he just says, come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Leave that scripture up for me for a minute, because I'm going to walk through it and break it down just a little bit for those in the building and those online. Jesus at this moment has just finished explaining his relationship, the relationship of he and the Father. Okay, which not coincidence, there's nothing coincidental with God, but it happens, this explanation happens to actually speak to and give more credit to or more credence to the fact that Jesus and the Father are one. Shout out to week one of this series, we talked about that, right? Then he says, everyone is welcome. That's what all means. Come to me all. Then he says, I'll teach you. That's what learn of me means. Then he says, my heart is to help you. That's why he says, I am gentle and humble at heart. Then he's saying, I know your soul is tired. That's why he says, you will find rest for your souls. And then watch this. He says, my lessons won't be hard and heavy. That's why he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, most people see the word yoke in that particular text there, and in this scripture, they immediately think of this. Yeah, see that? See how that? Yeah. But that's what they think of. That's what people think of. That's what people think of when they hear yoke or they see yoke. The first thing they think of is this. But no, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Here, when he says yoke, the type of yoke he's talking about, Jesus is saying my way, my teaching, my lessons to you are light and easy. He's saying my teachings are not heavy and burdensome like those of the Pharisees that would break your back with their laws. Jesus is offering relief, church. Yeah. And later in Matthew's gospel, he actually rebukes the Pharisees for having laid such heavy burdens on the shoulders of the people. At the end of the day, we must trust God's plan for our lives and put him first. Is he the Lord of your plans? Is he the Lord of your thoughts? Or are you selfishly clinging to your plans, to your way? Yeah, salvation is absolutely free. But once you receive it, it could cost you everything. Yeah. And church, that is what Jesus is getting at when he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Here's the newsflash. When we choose to follow Jesus, we also must choose to pay the cost. When we choose to follow Jesus, we must also choose to pay the cost. Tell your neighbor, it's a choice. It is a choice. Most times we recognize it's a choice and we fail to make the right choice. If we don't accept his invitation, and we don't come sit at his table, Rob, other people will. If we don't build and foster a relationship with him, Miss Jennifer, and be willing to pay the cost, what happens is we'll be wandering around this world like lost sheep if we don't make the choice to pay the cost. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to wander around lost. Perhaps you're in this room or watching online and you realize that you haven't paid the cost, that you've been a little lost. Or perhaps the truth of this message or the truth of this lesson today has helped you realize that you haven't been willing to pay the cost to follow Jesus. If that's you, pray this prayer silently with me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I don't want to be lost. Help me to learn and know you better. I want to get to the place where I am willing to pay the cost so that I can follow you and live for you. Please help me to learn to become, through you, a servant of all. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is only the beginning, because now you must learn to follow. You must learn to understand what that cost is like, Miss Stephanie. We must learn to understand what Jesus expects for us and what he's not expecting of us. My prayer is that you will allow us to come alongside of you to help you better follow Jesus.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.